Kyle would like to know if I have a snow scraper.
He's true. In his words, if his text is hard to decipher, but instead, I'm going to show him a trick that I have.
Okay.
I'm a cheap, lazy bastard. No, not cheap, the other one. Lazy bastard who spent money to use the water that melts the frost. Did you do this for a little bit?
How long is a little bit? I wonder, what does it sound like to the people listening to this podcast?
I don't know. It probably sounds like the delicate gossamer wings of angels.
Yes, or an annoying,
god-awful, scrapey, scrape, scrape. But that's okay. I overslept. I missed the gym.
I was going to say, I feel like you should have been up, and then I was like, oh,
too
my
many,
God.
Too many consecutive gym days and late nights working on software, and then stayed up late just not working on software, but I got started staying up late, and now, well, here I am.
We have two really funny ones that might be relevant coming up soon. Space politics versus U.S. politics. I don't know what that was supposed to be.
I don't even remember that.
And then presidential D&D stats, which is like a follow-up to the other D&D stats that we did.
And there's one other thing we can talk about that's come up. And we could just have a 30-minute knockdown drag-out about Batman v Superman.
Okay.
So,
it's already okay. I feel like we need to, like, I wish we had a guest. I wish we had someone we could call and talk with it about. But nobody that was going to be, like...
You want someone who's on your side.
No, I want someone... Well, that's what I was just going to say, is I don't want someone that was on either side. I want someone who's, like, a neutral party. Like,
an impartial
I want person. To spoil someone's, like, movie, just so they can listen to this talk about how this movie.
I probably should have got out and scraped that, but I really couldn't be bothered, because I'm just going to take this time to record.
It's okay. We can edit all of this out.
We're not going to.
Oh, I know, but we can.
I know. We don't do that here.
I know, but we always have the option to, if we ever
we
want
absolutely
to.
Do, but I don't think that... I figured we'd just start podcasting and then get going, because either I'm going to be out there fucking around with it, or I'm going to be in here podcasting, right?
Does your car have a defrost setting?
Not on the front.
Really?
It's got this thing.
But oh, yeah.
That's not going to do a whole hell of a lot of good right now until it warms up.
That's true.
It's also more noisy. I'm trying to put that up. You can definitely hear that on there. That one was Kyle. I might actually go ahead and scrape some of this off. That's just stuck on there.
And that's pure ice.
That's staying there. Okay, so...
I don't remember it getting so cold last night.
I don't either, which is a fun little time. We're just going to go. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, see?
There you go.
Both of us.
You can finally... you have your porthole.
Yeah. It's fine. Let's go.
All right, so
highway.
Batman versus Superman is probably, in the last 2 weeks...
Unfortunately, I probably will have to put this on. Now.
...become the one of the most contested... I keep stringing the fan down there.
Fine. Okay. We don't need a seat to drive. You only need legs to kick ass.
Exactly. It's probably become one of the most... It doesn't have, like, a... normal like fan setting, like you can't set it on like low.
There is. It's just like a whole series of buttons over here.
Shit.
You can do that and then set it to low.
Oh, it's done.
Probably on.
Let's do this one. Oh, that's pleasant.
This also works for both of us. And every time Joe, because they're doing your turn, but I don't know why you can just go the way I went, where you can just not have to fuck around somewhere.
So, Batman versus Superman. Is probably in the weeks that we're living, not in the weeks that the podcast is coming out. One of the most, like, what's been very talked about as, like, one of the worst superhero movies, blah, blah, blah.
I don't know that I've heard that.
Well, like, everyone's, like, talking down on it. Like,
So let me establish this, based off of the conversations that...
It only barely beat Batman vs. Robin. I want to see that stat now,
wait,
actually.
Wait, but it's been out for, like, 4 days.
Yeah, it's been out for, like, a week now. It came out last Thursday.
So a week.
Yeah.
But like one weekend.
Yeah, okay.
Is what I'm looking
and
at.
It's still grossed more than like any like, it's like got 500 million or something
It's doing really well. I think it's, okay.
Critically
proclaimed
then, maybe, is the words I'm looking for.
I actually don't give a shit about the critics either, because the critics have disliked a lot of things that I've liked, and I've disliked things that critics have liked, right? Yeah. Gay cowboys eating pudding.
I don't like that either, because I don't like watching pudding be defiled.
They're not defiling it, they're just eating it.
Oh, I thought they had sex with the pudding and then
God, no.
I guess I really don't watch a lot of those
No, you don't.
They mostly don't have sex with Blake. Sometimes they do, obviously. Yeah, I mean, sometimes you gotta say.
I mean, Brokeback Mountain is literally gay cowboys eat each other's pudding.
Yeah, but in that one, the pudding is the penis.
The hammer is my pudding. Penis.
Penis.
So that was a weird like mixture between like Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog and a weird Bill Cosby rape joke.
Rape joke. It's never too soon for a Bill Cosby rape joke. Can you confirm that I'm actually recording on that one? I realized
that. Yeah. Oh man, that was a really good joke. Yeah, you're good. Yeah, and okay. Sorry about the rustling, peeps. Peeps.
That's okay. They'll get used to it. Don't put it there. Don't put it there.
What? I'm just gonna let you give.
You don't understand. Okay. The cup holders are asymmetric.
Holy
that one sits there and presses buttons on it. Like as you drive around, so all of a sudden my volume is really loud.
Like,
and then all of a sudden, you know, which gets all the notifications from all of the people that are trying to talk to me, which is everybody.
Which is nobody.
Because I'm sorry. Not at this time of day, I guess.
I think
I had a thing, and this is I'm gonna say this. This is something I really want to bring up because I feel like this is everybody shit on Kyle Day, and it's been that for a week.
That's my life.
That's not what it's about. Here's the thing, okay? I enjoyed the movie. I walked out of there like, that was a good movie. By the way, there's probably going to be spoilers.
You said that? Like,
There's probably going to be spoilers, okay?
That's awesome. I didn't know you said
that. I walked out of there and was like, I enjoyed that. I don't think I said that was a good movie. I think I said, I enjoyed that.
Okay.
And then immediately, I started realizing where some of the flaws were.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately, I was starting to be like, and then I remember staying up entirely too late talking to Kate about, that didn't make sense either. And it was a movie that, as we thought about it, just kind of unraveled.
Okay.
So the experience was pleasant, but at the end of it, you're like, wait a minute, where did they land that subplot? They never did land that subplot. Or what was that for? Or like, that kind of conversation was what, it didn't ruin the movie. I still enjoyed the movie. I still would recommend the movie to a fan of either,
DC, Batman, or
Superman. Well, I would say either story, but they're kind of the same, aren't they? I mean, they're either character. I'd say a fan of either character.
Okay.
Because they're the same. I was going to say either universe, but they're the same universe. Because that guy was like, inevitable crossover, and it's like, it's inevitable because it's not a crossover.
We'll remember to link to an article about this.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
And it was
really funny. We're at the shit on that guy.
Yeah.
That guy's getting shit all up in here.
And like, so that's an interesting scenario, because you walked out of the movie, then analyzed it, and then it fell apart. So I think what might have happened to me is I didn't see it until after the normal group of people saw it, which is Kendrick and Kate and like the Evans household and other people that I've seen hate it or I'm sorry, not hate it. I've seen someone hate it. Some people have actually hated it.
And there's haters. And then there's definitely haters.
Like so I've got the hater review. I've got the people who tore it apart after the movie review. And so I went in with like a really like. I don't know what it was. Like, I went in with a different attitude, like, after having heard all this stuff.
Sure.
And I actually read spoilers for the movie before I went and saw it.
Which would give you a very different movie experience.
Yeah, and so, like, I think this conversation might manifest, metamorphosis.
Whoa,
into...
these are all... I was about to say the words as you were saying them. I was like, he's got it.
Into a conversation about, like, how different... attitudes or approaches going into movies can drastically affect your interaction with a film. Like
I would be curious for that, but I don't think that's what this was, because both Kate and I came in there like, well, this is gonna suck, and then walked out of there like, wow, that didn't suck.
But then started to say that it kind of did after you thought
not
about
for
it.
Any of the reasons we thought it was going to.
Okay.
That's one of the best things.
I went in there trying to, instead of like breaking down plot things, trying to fill them in my own. Which is kind of interesting.
Fine, but that's...
It was the opposite of how we wanted The Witch to be. So, like, we went and watched The Witch together as a group, and the thing you didn't like was the part at the end where they showed the witches finally, because you wanted that to be left...
I enjoyed it being, spoiler alert for The Witch.
Yeah.
I guess.
You get to see The Witch! Hey!
Yeah, there's witches in The Witch.
Okay. And, like, I thought that was interesting that in horror, you like it more... You like it hot in the butt. You like it more, like, kind of vague. And like the holes kind of fill in that mystery. Like they make you kind of more suspense.
I think you're misunderstanding what I mean by plot holes.
Yeah. But I thought that was it's the approach to like viewing things that can be seen as plot holes or actual plot holes. Like because some vagaries to me come off as like, why didn't you explain that? It could have been easy in horror. But for you, it may come off as more like, I didn't need that explained because it built the suspense.
I would say that working in the realm of possible multiple interpretations because of the duality of the film and the directorial decisions. Secret Window being a fine example of that, at least or a demonstrative example at the very least, is not the same thing as introducing subplots that don't go anywhere.
Like what?
Like the fucking flashbacks. Or the dream things. Or where the Flash warned him about Lois Lane and then like, what the fuck was that? And then it's gone.
But there's other instances in Marvel films where that kind of thing has happened because it's pushing forward into the next film. Like the whole subplot with like, oh man, I'm trying to remember.
You can't remember because there aren't any.
There are some. There has to be at least one. There has to be at least one.
But I'm not a hater enough where that was going to bother me, except that it bothered me. And I wasn't going into that movie gunning to find things wrong with it.
Okay.
I went into that movie with, I'm going to enjoy this, damn it. Because it's Batman versus fucking Superman, and I want to watch that movie.
I guess, so the dream sequence thing was like...
That's one example.
That was one thing that I could have cast or, like, it could have gone either way.
It
like,
did nothing for the movie.
To me, it was just, like, solidifying Batman's, like, fear of what Superman could become. Like, that's all it did. And, like, it didn't need to be as long.
It didn't, because...
I liked it because it was, like, homage to Red Sun.
Oh, no, and again, this is where it's confusing, because I wanted to watch the movie that was happening there.
Yeah,
that was like, that. I would much rather have watched whatever weird Injustice Red Sun situation was happening over there.
Yeah, and that was
I wanted that.
You got like did Kate explain the whole like dark side thing?
Yeah,
like,
I know that stuff.
I don't know that. I didn't know that Omega.
I didn't know that at the time, but I looked into it after. Okay. So I'm familiar with that concept, and I dug that part. And this is where it's tricky. Is I dislike the homages, but as an editing and a writing standpoint, that made no fucking sense. It did nothing to build up the story. It did nothing to advance the characters. It did nothing to do anything except this ham-fisted attempt to show you some kind of little nod to later, as opposed to an elegant or subtle allusion. It is a smash you over the fucking head with it kind of thing. It felt like Gotham writing.
It was an action sequence.
But an unnecessary... An action sequence... You can't just say it's an action sequence and that makes it okay.
Well, like, I can, though, if I'm talking about the Expendables, I can say, oh, this movie, this part
doesn't
matter.
If you're
going
to say this movie is on par with the Expendables, then...
You've already won.
Well, God, this is amazing, the commitment to both people being in that spot that they were both there. Did you see that?
They wanted to be there. Quantum physics on it.
I was about to drop an energy drink and take out a motorcyclist to get the fuck out of the way of that shit. You see this?
I don't know if you noticed just now,
because I was looking at it like, I'm going to drop this on my crotch. That's the only way this is going to go, because I'm going to have to do something quickly. I
have to pull up the car and then land on its wheels and keep driving.
Yeah.
That would be crazy. Yeah. But, like, I mean...
So,
like,
I would say, no, I mean...
I can't...
Again, let me back this up again. Expendables is a terrible movie. Okay. All three Expendables do not have a plot to speak of. You should not be like the Expendables if you want to be a Batman or Superman movie. Mm-hmm. The Expendables occupy a special place like Kung Fury of terrible movies that are amusing because of what they are. That is not what comic book movies... I mean, if that's how you want your comic book movies, then that's great. And that would explain a lot of this conversation already. We can stop.
Well, like, it's not that I want them
I like
way.
There to
it's
be story and character.
I like... There was more story in that movie than, like, any other action movie I've ever seen with the similar amount of action. Like, I thought that they were, like, trying to do something that...
What about the Avengers?
Avengers is like.
What about Avengers 2?
Where like
Winter Soldier?
Would you call those? You would call those action movies, though.
How are they not?
I'm asking you how they are.
Well, Winter Soldier is kind of a political thriller,
spy movie slash action
movie.
Okay.
Avengers 2, they threw a city out of the sky. Like, I mean, like, it's got lots of action.
Like, I guess...
What this movie was jam-packed with action, like, to the point where it was inappropriate.
Action genre, not, like, action in the movie. Because I'd say, like Avengers Age of Ultron is more like a sci-fi kind of, like, flick where, like, you have big things happening, but I don't know if that's the same as an action movie, is it? Like, I don't want to reference Battlefield Earth, but, like...
You're saying it's an action movie... In that it doesn't need to have a plot or story or make sense.
In that, I'm not sure that... I think they were trying to do some kind of, like...
Like speed.
Synergy thing, where they're like, let's try to make an action movie with, like, a comic book plot.
But, so, like, The Matrix?
I don't know. Is that, like, one that you consider...
I don't know. I don't understand how Avengers is not an action movie.
Well, I wouldn't say that it doesn't have action, but I wouldn't put it in the genre.
That's what I mean, I don't know how it's not in that genre.
Well, like, traditional action movies are, like, the Last Boy Scout, or, like, I don't think Terminator is really an action movie as much as it is a sci-fi
movie. Die Hard?
I'd say Die Hard's an action movie, yeah.
But it's got plot and intrigue and characters and, like, I guess I'm
what's
not...
What's, like, the deep plot of Die Hard?
That's I'm not saying than... there's deep plot, I'm just saying that there's the story is... I guess the story is not as deep as say, Avengers, but I guess... So you're saying it's an action movie, so it doesn't have to make sense
to have
a plot or to have
I guess
you just
what
relax
I'm saying
the
is
requirements.
I feel like DC is more of an action comic book, like, entity to me, so, like...
Yeah, Kate almost threw her phone when she heard you say that.
Yeah, I don't really, like, care. Because Batman is the only... Like, Batman is the only thing that really is not very action-oriented. And, like, Batman I really like because of the detective aspect. Like, there's lots of intrigue and plot in a lot of Batman comics. Like, I will say for sure that Batman is one part of DC that isn't, like, oriented on, like, massive galactic events that are destroying the world. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out, like, I'm trying to articulate...
You mean, like, Marvel?
No. Not like the Marvel.
When there's massive galactic events.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, whenever I read, like, comics from DC... I don't really get the feel that they're really putting a lot into, like, what I'm reading.
Story.
But they're putting a lot into what I'm seeing. Whereas when I read Marvel, I feel like I'm getting a lot of both.
So DC doesn't use writers?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to, like, be a dick.
I guess.
But
so you're saying because DC can't write, the movies aren't going to have plot?
I'm saying I guess whatever you're saying, I can't really talk against, but I'm trying to say that I enjoy Zack Snyder's version of
DC
like
Murderverse.
And that's what I want to talk about that too. Like, I enjoyed what Zack Snyder was trying to do, which is like I want to make a DC comic book into a movie. And every single version of like what I've seen has still been like the things that happen in DC always have these like weird things. Like you can't explain why they did it that way. And because anytime Superman's involved with something, it's like, why did he choose to do the spear thing? Like, Wonder Woman could have done it, da-da-da-da. So, like, and when I read DC, I tend to like, explain away some of this stuff more easily than I do when I try to read something critically, like Marvel or, like, a good story. And so, I'm not saying that makes it, like, I don't know if that's an excuse, but I mean...
I don't read enough DC to say one way or the other on here. I can say that I know, just because I've been tapping into people, I do know that both Kate and Joe would completely disagree with you.
That's fine.
So I don't know where you're getting this concept that DC is somehow action-oriented and not written.
Because a lot of the DC I've read, besides like the off-the-cuff stuff like Red Sun and the weird like non-main universe stuff, is not very well written. Like even the stuff that I've been told to read from other people.
So let me put it this way. I'll put a pin in that because I can't really speak one way or the other on that.
Sure.
But does that really excuse you from having a shittily written film?
No, but what I think it does is it makes your film more like the comic books that people are bitching about.
So which exact comic book are they basing it off of?
They're not basing it off of just one.
So they're basing it off of multiple comic books.
Yeah.
And they're pulling things from multiple stories. They have then elected to make a shitty story. Because they could have pulled things from stories.
More of it, you're making a story in the DC universe that involves Superman and
but
not just
I'd
Batman.
I'd like to point out that the Christopher Nolan Batmans didn't have nearly as many of these issues.
I just said that, though. I said, you're making a DC movie with Superman, like, involved in the plot, and it's not just Batman. Hard to write Superman movies well, because all it is big dudes beating the shit out of each other until someone gets tired with kryptonite. Like, that's the only thing that
right,
happens.
But you can put that in there and have other things around it.
But
Superman is not movie kryptonite.
And in this movie, I'd say that he definitely wasn't.
I think we
just
found the title for this
there
podcast.
Was things, there
Superman
was things,
is movie kryptonite.
There's things about Superman in this movie that I enjoyed, like, what Isaac said on my Facebook post. I don't know if you kept reading that, but he basically said, like, I'll stop being good now. Like, that idea that Superman has even the potential to think about changing, like, changing from what we view as human as good, like, was kind of an interesting plot.
Okay, so
like,
here's the thing that's, here's some parts that I was saying. Now, the biggest,
danger.
Like, watching more
danger.
Cars merging into other cars, literally merging, like, Dragon Ball Z dance and shit going on here, the part, like, some of the examples, right? That was a 2.5-hour movie where the
was
plot...
Really?
Yeah. Plot elements were rushed. Why were we so rushed to cram plot in? That was the thing I was like... It felt like all of the actual plot points were abbreviated in the name of
something. And it might have been more action. It might have been, yeah, we need this to be action-packed. But I don't think you can say it's dark and gritty when it's action-packed.
Maybe. Like, the characters tend to be dark and gritty when the action's not happening, but then it turns into, like, action, and you're like, it's not really...
My part, too, is it felt disjointed. Which is one of those things where, yeah, the moments are viscerally pleasant. Like, oh my god, that, like, the fucking Batmobile chase scene...
That was cool.
...was off the hook, yeah. But completely unnecessary.
Like, unnecessary how, though? Like,
from a plot standpoint, it achieved nothing. That's what I'm saying. Now, for example,
I guess
the massive fight scene in the end of the Avengers 2, right, where they're beating the shit.
More of the truck scene where they're trying to get Vision. Like, yeah. Necessary.
Yeah, because they're chasing him down.
Okay.
And the plot that could have been shorter, I suppose, if you wanted to make it shorter. But the necessary aspect was they're chasing it down to get the what later becomes Vision, right?
Yeah.
And they fail. And in doing so, they get separated and they get fucked up, and there's some plot elements. Well, okay, yeah, you're right.
I get what you're saying.
They get it, but you know, like, there's things that happen in the fight scene, right?
By the way, can we go get breakfast?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, we can. Yeah,
okay,
we
will. Destruction of your point. No,
that there's an outcome of that.
Yeah.
And the part that got me was the outcome of the chase scene. Was literally nothing because he shot the tracer.
No. It was the point at which Superman first interacted with Batman, and like I can see how that may not have been necessary. You're right; like that could have been cut short. Where like he could have been doing something, and Superman comes down, and it's like boom, right?
Yeah, he literally could have stepped in right as he shot the gun.
Maybe that's exactly the point. Is that perhaps some of those? Maybe that's a part we can agree on, but I don't know if that I wanted it. Like,
well, and that's where what I want to see is the deleted scenes.
Yeah, maybe.
There's talk that some of the deleted scenes elaborated some of the plot points, and Zack Snyder opted to delete plot points instead of action sequences when he was abbreviating the length. Sounds like a Zack Snyder thing to do, and that's fine. I can live with that.
Yeah.
And again, I really want to underscore all this with I enjoyed the movie. I recommend the movie.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that it's a good or great movie. And the biggest argument that's coming out of this, and the reason you're feeling targeted, and the reason that I'm involved in this, is Kate... in particular, because of her Facebook feed, so I'm seeing it because of her Facebook feed, has these super fanboy friends that are insisting it's the best movie ever made.
Oh, really?
Like, it is the best superhero movie ever made, it's the best movie ever made, and it's like, the argument is primarily, it made my dick hard because it's got Superman in it, essentially.
Did you read what Dalton said?
I did not get through that.
Okay, so Dalton was talking about how... He made an interesting point on the counter of what those guys were probably saying, which is, like, he likes creative freedom in films because we've seen it all before.
Right.
So why wasn't there
any creativity?
Well, there was some creativity, and that's what I'm saying. There were some points in that movie that were actually really creative. Like, and you're talking about the difference between the director doing something with the movie and the writers doing something with the movie.
I consider them to be comparable in this concept.
So the writers actually, the guys who wrote this movie, Goyer was a guy who wrote for all the Batman movies, right? And the other guy wrote for, like, Argo and some of the other, like, I guess, I don't know, some movies I've never heard of. So I'm going to go with Goyer because he's the guy that, like, I actually heard movies he's actually done before. It seems like some of the writing was, like, I guess I'm going to have to agree with you, and I hate doing that. So, like, I do want to see the deleted scenes as well because maybe some of that writing got cut out and, like, that sense of, like...
No.
Pushing some of the characters.
Once again, I want to keep saying this. I'm shitting on the movie because I don't agree with the premise that it was a great movie,
okay.
Or even necessarily that it was a good movie.
I don't know that I would say that it was a great movie either. But I think it has a lot of redeeming qualities.
We're debating what punishment it gets in hell at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
We're all really agreeing that it was not the best portrayal
ever. I'd say
it's
good.
I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I will watch it again sometime. Mm-hmm. As it is what it is, but it was a bit of a flop in that it felt like it had the potential to be better. That's what it felt. That's why it's frustrating for I think Kate and me and like Gary and those of us who have these qualms.
Yeah,
is because it's like it could have been better. There were design decisions made that seemed to be nonsensical.
Yeah,
because they could have been better.
And I guess the takeaway from this podcast might be that you should go see it to see how you feel about those.
I still recommend seeing it.
Like,
go see it
and see how you feel about what they did, and see how if you don't mind filling in that stuff your own and making it your own,
yeah.
Or if you dislike that they didn't like come get those plots to the very end,
or if they didn't do a good job of tying it up, like you can do in these movies, like they have done in those movies,
or if you think that maybe like you're okay with the way that it works because I don't know, like, it just depends on how you interpret it. And that's the best, maybe the best part about this movie, is it's causing so much conversation.
It is definitely having a conversation.
And that's something that I would say maybe a lot of Marvel movies don't tend to do as much. It's like, they're so good that it's like, oh yeah, that was a great movie. Like,
I don't know that I agree with that, because I get a lot of people who say Avengers was terrible,
and I've never heard that.
Yeah, I heard a lot of people say it was really awful.
Maybe it's just the end. But we'll see in 3 or 4 weeks if people are still talking about Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah.
And that'll be, like, the determining factor. But let's talk about the cool stuff. Like the DC Murderverse. And, like, the whole Flash thing.
One of the things that I like, there's some great writing. Right, I mean, there's not great. There's good writing in it.
There's good things that happen with
Lex Luthor's character.
I liked
him. I liked him until about the last quarter of the movie.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's the memory I have that left a bad taste in my mouth. When he goes Joker-y.
I don't know if that's... I agree with that, but that's not something we have to talk about. Dalton's point was that Lex Luthor was, like, an interesting portrayal of a different Lex Luthor. Where, like...
And it's a young Lex Luthor.
You see him bring Superman as a young boy to... Young boy, as a young man, to his knees without even touching him,
Yeah, young
him,
boys with Superman on his knees.
And, like, so that was an interesting point Dalton brought up, was that this is, like, an iteration of Lex Luthor where he's not even really touched or done anything to fight Superman, and still does what most the good Superman villains do, which is, like, come at him from an angle where, like,
I'm gonna say this way. I liked the writing.
Yeah.
Of Lex Luthor for a fair amount. I liked him being an eccentric young boy genius kind of thing. You know, the Silicon Valley tech entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I think that that's a great adaptation of the character who was a towering industrialist in an era when towering industrialists were what we had. And that he would be a kind of Silicon Valley brat kind of now. That makes sense. Like, boy genius. That is the modern equivalent of the wealthy industrialist that he was when the comics were written before, right? And then different characters. I like that. I thought it was a really great modernization.
Yeah.
And a really great and natural feeling transition. Jesse Eisenberg did a great job of portraying that character, especially when he's giving that speech and he starts losing it and just starts freaking out.
Yeah.
I loved that. That party scene was amazing.
And it's like he's at the end of his rope because he can't deal with the fact that people
that
don't see how
too,
dangerous this guy is.
Again, with Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent and Lex Luthor are all in there, and every person has a piece of information about what's going on,
but
no one else has all of it. So you're watching it like, this scene's amazing. Everyone's holding their cards super close to their chest. And then everyone else knows a little bit about something else, but not enough.
Like, I think, like, Lex Luthor towards the end, though, the one you're talking about, has already gone insane because of the knowledge that he's seen.
Right,
so it's different than a Joker insanity, which is
But what the problem I had is it felt like they were trying... It felt like someone...
Long-haired insane guy.
Well, no, it wasn't even necessarily... It felt like there's a guy in a boardroom like, they like that Joker character. Put more of that in there.
All right, so we're almost done, so I want to get through four things. The Murderverse. So that scene where Batman sprays bullets around... doesn't hit anybody.
Yes, that was the thing I wanted.
And
I
all those people are in body armor. Like, no one's going to die from a shot from most of those guns with that thick kind of body armor.
Depending on the body armor, they mostly had Kevlar.
Why was it?
It looked like mostly Kevlar.
But like, none of them were, like, headshots or anything like
that. He also had those experimental weapons that apparently don't penetrate books, but apparently kill people.
Yeah, and the bullet stays a bullet instead of, like, being, like,
amalgamation
of metal.
Whatever. No, this is where I was saying, I didn't think he was murdering people, so much as not giving a fuck.
Yeah, and I agree with that. Like, this Batman was willing to maim to the point of almost death everyone, but didn't, like, in separate...
It's not like he just went up and shot people in the face.
And people were, like, really mad about that in the preview, the neck-breaking thing, but it happens not in real, like, the real world. It's something when he's been already pushed further, and those are, like,
I do not have as many issues with Batman killing people, because I feel like after, especially older... No, young Batman killing people, sure, that's bad. But when Batman... This is 20-year Batman, remember?
Yeah.
Takes place in the present. His parents died in 81. So...
Still not killing people, though.
No, but he's not, like, going out... He's not punishing people, right? But he is still like, okay, I'm not gonna waste energy not killing you if you're trying to murder me with a fucking rifle, like a fully automatic assault rifle. Like,
yeah, and I thought... I agree with you with Ben Affleck doing a good portrayal of an older Batman.
I loved that, actually, and I'm kind of on the fence here because I think Ben Affleck is my favorite Batman right now.
And what I didn't like was how the movie wrote Batman into it. Like, I think if they would have given Batman more intelligence, and this is my own personal feeling and not, like... And we've already talked about how this is something we don't agree on, but I feel like they made him out to be, like... The way that I see Batman is far more intelligent than he was in the movie, but that's because I haven't read him with these, like, world-ending plots.
I would say that a lot of his... I think that they made him a little too single-minded, like you're talking, like he's too focused on fucking up Superman.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of his dumbness stems from his unfamiliarity with the situation, and he can't have the information. And that's would have felt too Deus Ex Machina if you had the information.
That's why I'm
like, oh, I've got this anti-Doomsday button. You're like, how the fuck could you know about that?
Like, because, like, while he may be able to handle people, he may not be able to handle metahumans yet. Like, he hasn't fight a lot of metahumans, except for, like, Killer Croc and some of these other ones, but they're,
in
like,
this world, he hasn't
all Gotham-oriented, right? When he gets outside of his zone, he's, like, covering too much area or something like that. So, yeah, I'm willing to give that.
That was something I have to address. This is something I have to bring up. Why the fuck is Gotham City across the river from Metropolis?
Why is that a big deal? That doesn't bother me that much.
They're twin cities?
I mean, and like...
They're literally twin cities. You can see the bat signal from
Metropolis.
Nobody
ever says where either of those cities are
in
any of
but
the comics.
They're twin cities. Mm-hmm. And then over the last... Oh, there's a truck in the way.
No.
Over the last however many months, Superman hasn't done fuck about Batman. He can hear Lois Lane tapping on rocks across there, but he can't go over to Batman at any point until he's driving his car around.
The Superman thing, it pisses me off, because, like, in Superman Returns, even though I should not ever talk about that movie, he hears the whole world talking, and he can, like, go where he wants to go, but he can't hear his mom, like, from Lex Luthor's hitting her, and, like, just some of the Superman things that piss me off.
That took me out of the movie. That's the only reason I'm saying it.
Yeah.
And I'm normally capable of suspending disbelief for most of it, but that was one of the things in that movie that I was like, what the fuck? Since when are they sister cities that are like twin cities that are on opposite sides of the fucking river? And basically, what we learned was Gotham is New Jersey.
Yeah, basically. And so, the one last thing, I like the time travel elements. I wish it would have been done better, because I like the Flash time travel thing.
I would have liked to have seen more, and this is where it's tricky, because I feel like this would have been... The things that happened in this movie would have been a great second movie in the series.
Okay.
And not as much in the first one.
Okay.
And because I feel like the way they introduced the Flash in that was weird, but they couldn't have introduced him anymore. And so they wrote themselves into a corner.
Contrary to what most people seem to think, I really like the introduction of the metahumans in this movie.
I agree.
And I agree that
it was a slow, like, thing. I would have liked to have seen, basically... All those things I'm complaining about, like the Flash's random interjection, the visions, those things, I'd like to see that in the sequel.
Okay, yeah, where you have more established stuff.
Have none of those little buried leads, except maybe tiny illusions, which they had a couple of them.
Like, if you just would have done, like, the videos from the Metahuman Project,
yes,
I think that would have been
great. That would have been great. And then in the next one, have those flashbacks, and you can start transitioning there. And then the next one, that would involve the Flash more. So you can actually have him be like, oh, that was the Flash guy. Mm-hmm. But it would have been too crowded in this current one. You know, like, those are the sort of decisions. But again, it's mostly subtle things. We're not talking about Gigli here.
Or, like, so this is what I compared to the other day with Spider-Man 3. Like, they did a lot of stuff in this movie. Like, in Superman vs. Batman. Batman vs. Superman. Like, a lot of stuff was crammed into this movie.
Yes.
And that was what they also tried to do with Spider-Man 3, but they failed so bad. Because they did a lot of the same thing, where they cut off plot holes, bad writing, da-da-da-da. A lot of people hated Spider-Man 3. This was, like, a better Spider-Man 3, which isn't a good thing, necessarily, but it's not, like... It's good that they're finally getting to a point where they're trying to put these, like, really heavy story arcs in a single movie,
I feel
movie,
like
I guess.
The other thing that bothers me is I've seen a large ensemble of superheroes work well in Avengers 2, where they pointed out, like, every character has, like, maybe 11 minutes of screen time.
Because, oh, really?
Yeah, like, because they're all, like, there's so many fucking people.
Yeah.
But watching it doesn't feel that way.
But still, it's, you're not, so the thing that with Avengers is, like, you're focusing on a group, and the group has a story arc. Like, this movie has, like, three characters that have their own story arcs in, like, very independent ways.
And the problem I had is that it didn't feel cohesive.
No.
And it could have. And here's the thing is, I feel like it could have, they could have fixed these problems.
Yeah.
And it just felt like someone dropped the ball. Some editor or director, or there was, like, a fight between the director and the writers, or it just felt like there was something
and
that didn't quite fit
that's
right.
That's an interesting point, because... Oh, you bring that up, and this is happening with... Who does this? Who did this movie? It was WB, what, Warner Brothers?
Yeah.
I think. And the same thing, the same type of, like, cutting stuff out so the story doesn't make sense, like, problems happen with The Amazing Spider-Man 2, which is Sony. And so, like, you have all these issues where, like, Fox and Sony... Fox is getting better. Sony and WB have these issues where they're, like...
I think that they're trying to pander
to, like, audiences.
I think they are, and
I
feel like it could be. I'm hesitant to blame the to jump on this, but it felt like it could have been corporate pressure to sell toys, you know, which is something that fortunately Marvel Studios seems to be better about protecting themselves against.
Well, Disney's been selling toys for Yeah. So they know how
but
to do
they're
better.
Super good at integrating it into their
And choice. I think that that's something that is, I think it's a good point that you bring up, is this, that you can feel the corporate pressure, like the producer pressure of the, like, we can't have that in the movie. That won't sell well. And you're like,
we need to sell more
but
toys.
We need this in the movie for the story.
Example. We got is there a Batmobile scene? We need to sell a Batmobile. And Zach, and the writers are like, oh, fuck, we didn't put one in there. And then you can see someone going like, well, there's this spot here where he shoots the tracer. I guess he could chase him with the car. Because the car has no plot value whatsoever and never comes up again.
It'll be
really, but I know there's a toy
really imperative
for it.
If you see a toy of like the trench coat of future Batman, then you know for sure.
Here's two toys to look for, guys, and if they're not out now, you can find them. The trench coat Batman and the Batmobile. I guarantee you there's a Batmobile toy.
Yeah.
The Batmobile toy, which is in it for exactly one scene, gets wrecked immediately.
Oh, the Batjet too. Because it's the same thing.
Well, the Batjet I can understand because he needs to move around with flying characters. Okay, so him having a Batjet makes sense because he's got to interact with people who can fly.
Okay, yeah.
So I get that.
I guess it wasn't more than... It was like in a section of the movie.
And it made... I mean, the weird flyby of Doomsday actually didn't bother me that much because he's like, the fuck is that? Like, I don't have any data on this. So I guess I'll go look at it, which is, I guess, a Batman thing to do.
Yeah, but, yeah. And he's still...
Now,
one
other thing. Alfred, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Jeremy Irons.
Oh, man, we don't have enough time to talk about the Martha thing.
Well...
Part two?
Sounds like it's going to be Podcast Bang Bang. This is Sit Sock.
Kyle.
Kendrick. The movie wasn't that bad. And I'm going to stop saying this one. Go love yourself.
Oh, wow. That's oddly...
love yourself as a human being. Or viscerally.
Love yourself like via masturbation.
That'd be fucking yourself.
Oh. Oh, shit! It just clicked.